Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our first prayer meeting for the year 2022. We will start off this week. Next week, we'll not have prayer meeting due to the holidays. Then we will continue the week after. So let's commit this time to God in prayer before we start. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that we can come together in your name. We want to thank you that you are good, that you love us, that you care for us, that you have been guiding us all these years, Lord. And we want to thank you for your favor and your presence upon the church. And we come to you, Lord Father, as your people, as people called by you, called by your name. We pray, Lord Father, that you open our eyes, that you help us understand. You help us, Lord, receive your word. Most of all, Lord, as we look to you, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would anoint, that you would baptize, that you would fill us, Lord, that you would transform our hearts to be more like Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's, the series that we're going to do this year is on the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to do different teachings on God the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain to you why this is important. Okay, so first I'll just read a sermon text for today. It's taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. So it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they asked. They said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Okay, so this is the portion of scriptures as what took place before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and why we need to talk about this is, as you look at the slide, the question is, are we powerless? Okay. As we've been doing the series on the book of 2 Samuel, we've been speaking a lot about power and how to handle power and how to engage power. And you find that one of the discussions in this passage is whether God will, you know, restore that kind of power, that Davidic kind of kingdom to Israel, and where disciples will be ministers and have power or to govern and minister. And of course, when we talk about power, we kind of think of power in that way, you know, to have power to do those kind of things, to bring that kind of changes. But of course, as Christians, we understand power in a much deeper way, but we do have moments in our own life where we feel powerless. We find it so hard to change, find it hard to do the right thing. We find it so hard to understand what God wants to do, and we cannot discern God's will in our life. And this is so important. This is why it's so important that we be mindful that God has given us power, and his power rests in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the thing is, you know, it is God who empowers us. So as much as to the second point there, how much of my spiritual growth depends on me? Well, it is, it's kind of strange. The power just went off here for a while. Thank God we got it back. So so the question lies as, you know, is it all me doing it, or is it God helping me? But as we begin to look to God, we begin to realize it's always him. We are powerless to save ourselves. It's powerless to, you know, to do anything or to change ourselves or even anyone. But it is God who pours out his power in our life. So, for example, you know, like a week ago, a week or a couple of weeks ago, you know, something happened and I was very disturbed by it. And I was not happy it happened. And I was asking God why it had to happen. And I was praying a lot about as what I need to do. And I wasn't so excited about doing anything about it. And I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do in the first place. So, you know, it's one of those things. It just, it's like a cloud that hangs over your head and affects your whole day and the way you function. And even talking about it doesn't help. It kind of, you know, makes the situation worse. So I was just praying about it for a couple of days. And then as the third day in the morning, as I was praying, and I sensed God telling me, it's okay, you know, you should just do this and you can entrust this into my hands. And the moment I sensed God speaking that in my heart, I just felt the power to just let go of the whole things and move on and start working on what to do and what to say. And this thing was not an issue anymore. It wasn't a cloud over my head. It's kind of a breakthrough. So you can see that, you know, in all things, God draws us into places where he wants us to struggle, where he wants us to think, where he wants us to understand. At the same time, it is him who provides an open door for us to embrace. He shows us what to do. So it's so important that, you know, that we be careful, that we never substitute God's power. And I think that's what's been hurting Christianity. I mean, we on our own can do a lot of things. There's power in our words, in our thoughts, in our plans, and so forth. And we can, you know, do things in church and say things to people with our own strength, with our own wisdom. But that does not touch lives or have the same results as God working in our midst. And therefore, you know, we must be mindful that the power of God is different. It's not something to just pick us up. It is not a weekly dose of religion. Yes, church is coming, it is important, and it's a place where God encourages us. But we must understand, you know, we being the community of believers are witnesses for Christ 24/7. We have to be acquainted with his presence and his goodness in our life constantly, and everything we do comes from him. Okay. So we have to understand the work of God. And as you see, the tension here is, you know, the power of God operates in a very different way. The disciples saw that, you know, everything they expected the Messiah to do, he did not do. In fact, he laid down his life and he died. But again, they thought he died, but he rose again victoriously. And he overcame death and sin, and his power surpassed their own expectations. And therefore, we must have a clear understanding of God's work in order to appreciate, you know, the move of his power, of his might. So the whole point here of this teaching and this journey at this point of our journey as a church is to look to God and to understand the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, that he may be the reality in our lives. You know, when we look at things around us and how challenging things have become, and how all kinds of teachings and beliefs are around us, you know, we must truly rely on the power of God to help us be the kind of people that God wants us to be, and help us, you know, to proclaim who Jesus Christ is to a broken world. So as you look at this text, Jesus tells his disciples not to leave, all right? And he says this, Luke notes this down much earlier in the book of Luke itself. So Luke has written both the book of Luke and Acts. And so in 24, chapter 48 and 49, he says, you are witnesses of these things, okay? And that's a key word. And then he goes on and says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Okay, and that's a powerful expression, to be, you know, covered with power. And then again, in this chapter, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promise, which you have heard me speak about. Okay, and the thing that we must be always mindful of is God will not send us alone. God will not leave us alone. Okay. Perhaps, you know, in our own Christian work, there are moments and seasons where we feel we are alone. And there are moments and seasons where we have chosen to be alone, you know, away from God. But in reality, because of God's love, God's hesed love, faithful love, you know, His presence is constantly with us. It's just whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. And God understands that on our own, we can't do anything. All right. So that's what we have to be mindful in throughout the whole history of humanity. God was always with His people. And now, since Jesus was taken, you know, God, the Holy Spirit is with us. And God is present with His power, with His glory among us. And we must understand the presence of the Holy Spirit that works in our hearts. Okay. And therefore, you know, in all things, as you're struggling through different issues and different questions and different places of growth, we must be mindful, you know, that we are people with the presence of God. And therefore, we are people who has the power of God. Okay. You know, and that's the thing. In Christ, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible for God. And what God set out to do, He will accomplish because He is the omnipotent God. There's nothing that can stop Him. And therefore, I mean, our whole understanding of Him has to change, and we have to begin to learn how to seek His presence and how to work with the God, the Holy Spirit, as to understand His power. In fact, if you have read the book of Acts, you begin to see that's how it worked out in the book of Acts, and the entire New Testament calls us to do the same thing, to be aware of God, of the Holy Spirit, and to be soaked in His power and to be renewed in His power. So this is something that we as a church need to do in our lives. Okay. And it's strangely, you know, what the disciples wanted to take place is the restoration of Israel. Now, as much of their thinking has been changed by Jesus Christ, but yet they still believed in some old ideas. And Jesus is the fulfillment of God's covenant to David, and He is that king whose kingdom will have no end. But again, the disciples are thinking, you know, that now Jesus will come, and as I mentioned, that He will give them the power of to govern and to administer. All right. But what's clear here, and what Jesus is saying, as much as the power is from on high, this is the kingdom of God, and it is a kingdom that comes from heaven. Okay, so it is not the reorganization of earthly kingdoms and earthly powers, but rather it is the kingdom of God, you know, coming and all these things fading away. And when Jesus comes again, you know, at that moment, that will mean the end of all things, all worldly powers and every kingdom. But at this moment, the kingdom of God has come, you know, but it is not fulfilled totally, but it is being moving through the lives of His people. Okay. And that's the thing, you know, the power that God gives us is a different kind of power, you know, where we begin to move and live under the kingdom of God, where we represent what it means to live as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So what's important about this passage is, you know, much of the time when we think about God's movement, we want to think about it just in our own lives, to be an anointed pastor or to be this life church as the locus of power, the anointed church of movement, and so forth. But here you find that God's desire is very different. You know, it's a movement from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. It is not confined to one people, one group, but rather it is a promise given to Abraham that all nations, the whole earth will be blessed. And that's the scope of God's power. And therefore, you know, it is not a power that is confined to one person, to one nation, to one group of people. The locus of power is always God. You know, it's His kingdom. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every time we think about power, we must see it as something that solely belongs to Jesus Christ. To Him belongs all glory, honor, and power and praise. All right. And we, you know, as His instruments, as people whom He has bestowed His power and grace to do His work, to represent His kingdom, okay? So again, we are made, you know, we are renewed as representatives of Christ, ambassadors of this kingdom, functioning under His power, all right? And the point here is all authority belongs to Him. And this authority and power He's giving, He wants to give it, you know, to every nation, to every tongue, every tribe. And therefore, this is something we must aspire. Okay, so how this works out is, you know, when they started doing missions in the early years, so the missionaries will go into a certain country and then they will raise disciples. But they always felt that the locals were unable, you know, and not ready to assume the position of leadership, you know, until some Christians begin to speak out as regards to the power of God, you know, that the same way the disciples were never ready, but God empowered them. And the same way, you know, the missionaries must let go and trust God, you know, and teach the locals, you know, to stand and to trust the power of God in developing the churches in their own nation. So that's the thing. There's no monopoly of that power, but rather it's something given up freely to everyone, okay? All right, so we begin to see that the power came. It's in the Old Testament, there's the idea of being anointed by God. Jesus is the anointed one. That's what Messiah means, okay? And He's empowered, you know, for that position. And He's the one who anoints and baptizes people in the Holy Spirit, okay? And when the church is conceived, you know, it's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are baptized, and the word baptize is to immerse ourselves, okay? So we are immersed in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, He brings about a new creation, a new birth, as, you know, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. You must be born again and born of the Spirit. And we are made sons and daughters of God. And the Holy Spirit gives us that power through the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the other comforter, you know, that takes the place of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that cries out from within us and helps us to pray to God, okay, and gives us the words to pray. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that leads us as individuals, as a community, you know, as a church, all right? And it's the Holy Spirit that grants us the fruit and gives us the gifts, okay? And in the Holy Spirit, there's joy, there's love, there's goodness, you know, there's kindness, there's patience, and at the same time, the ability to serve comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, through the Word of God, transforms us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So you can see that the sphere in which the power moves is wide. Okay, it's just not a kind of power given to us so that we can get what we want, but rather it's a power poured out into our lives so that the kingdom of God will be manifested in all of its glory, in all of its goodness in our lives through the church, through the believers, the believing community. And that's how Christianity has lived this many years, in spite of always being the underdogs, in spite of being the persecuted ones. You know, you find that in places where they are oppressed and persecuted because of the power of God and because of all these many things present with them, they grew in numbers, they grew in strength, and nothing could wipe away, you know, the work of God in the lives of His people. So this is the scope of it. And therefore, God gives us power to be witnesses, all right? And that's a very important part of it. Jesus says that you are empowered to be witnesses. So Jesus was saying, I'm not going to change the structures in the world, but rather, you know, when you speak, you know, when you tell me, tell people, you know, about the fact that I am the risen Lord, my kingdom has come, and I have overcome the power of death and sin, and therefore I've reclaimed this world, you know, through my blood, and I sit at throne above every name, as in the scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, this is what the Holy Spirit does. You know, he allows us to be witnesses of the fact, you know, that there is a change in the heavenlies. You know, there's been a change in the way things are. The power of death, the rule of death is no longer over people. The people who have been walking in darkness without any hope, without any light, now have seen a great light. And the once promised, the chosen Messiah, the chosen one who will lead people, you know, and out of darkness, who will bring salvation, who will bring restoration to all people, has come. Okay, and we are given power to be witnesses of this wonderful work. So when you put all this together, you begin to realize, you know, that a lot of the movement of God's power, you know, the way the power of God manifests in our life is as what God intended to be, as how he had promised it in the scriptures. And he is talking about salvation. He is talking about reconciliation. He is talking about restoring us as image bearers, people who will bear his image, who will be like him in this broken world. So it's always very interesting that, you know, Jesus would just choose us and ordinary people who are broken, who are prone to failure, people who have a heap of sins and have nothing much, you know, in themselves, people who are considered weak. God has chosen all of us, you know, to be his witnesses, you know, to be his image bearers. And the reason why he has done this and why he's so confident this can work, you know, this will be done, is because it is his power at work in our lives, not our power. It's because of what he is going to do in our lives, not us. Okay. So the thing about understanding the power of God is to hold on tightly, you know, to the reality of who God is and what he has promised to us. It is an invitation to gaze at him, you know, to be in his presence, to allow his spirit to fill us and to remind us again and again that God is moving, God is at work, to understand that the king has come. And he, as the angel said to the disciples, he will come again. And when he comes, you know, it will be the consummation of the kingdom, that every knee will bow, every government's, you know, will pass away, every earthly riches and whims and fancies will pass away, but the kingdom of God will be established throughout eternity for each one of us. So unless we see, you know, things in this context, we can never fully appreciate and understand the power of God, okay? Because the power of God works for his purpose, for his glories, for his goodness. And when we misunderstand the power of God, then we will misunderstand the role and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, we will kind of use him as a means for our own goals, rather than allowing him, you know, to be the Lord of our lives, rather than treating him as the third person in the Holy Trinity. He is God the Spirit, okay? And all reverence and glory and belongs to him, okay? Because all three are in one. And when he's present, the Son is present. And when the Son is present, the Father is present. And it's through the work of the Holy Spirit in our present day lives, we get to be acquainted with the Son. We get to know the will of the Son. We get to know who the Son is, you know, and his words become alive to us. And as we know the Son, we begin to know the Father. So everything, you know, takes place, you know, through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's what, you know, we want to do through this study. We want to come to that place where we realize, you know, that we truly need to seek God, the Holy Spirit, and understand his presence in our life. We need to truly believe, you know, that as we look to him, he is more than able to empower us to be the witnesses he has called us to be. Okay. So we're going to pray now, and these are the prayer items. And of course, we've been doing this. And I will challenge you to just learn how to pray. We have spoken much about it and shared it over our sermons. And again, like I said, you know, there is no monopoly in prayer, and there's no monopoly in the power of God. You know, rather, the center of God's power is Jesus. You know, as the Holy Spirit is God himself, and all we need to do is look to him for that grace, for that power. Okay. And what we are praying for is we do want to see a revival. We want to see a movement of the Holy Spirit, you know, in the church, in the nations, among the nations. As much as we have come out from, I mean, we're going through this endemic, and we're going through a different phase, but this whole thing has affected the church, and a lot of things have stemmed from this. But we must come to God, and we must begin to look to him, you know, to renew and restore the church, all right? And so we need to pray and ask God for guidance and understanding as what we can do, all right, in our lives, you know, in our workplace and so forth. And we also have to ask God, you know, that he continues to help us to be witnesses for Jesus, and that through our lives, souls will be saved, that he will help us to reach out to people, and that he would touch lives, the people that we know, the relatives that we have, that we'll continue to press on in prayer to see them come into saving grace. And we want to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit, that we are constantly renewed by the Spirit in our homes, in our services, in our ministries. And this needs much prayer. You know, we have stopped much of our physical meetings, and we are restarting now. And some of the ministries have not restarted, you know, due to the way things are. And we do need wisdom and guidance as how to minister at this phase of the endemic. And of course, you know, all of us need some form of a breakthrough. We are struggling with different things in our life, and let's pray for that. Let's pray for healing, protection, and provision, and continue to pray for this nation and the government. Okay, so let's move into a time of prayer. I'll pray first, and then I'll open this time of prayer. Any of you wanting to pray can please, you know, just unmute your mics and dear Lord, we want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you that you have not left us alone. We want to thank you, dear Lord, that you have sent us that gift, Lord, a gift, Lord. And let us understand, Lord, you're God who gives. As much as we have turned away from you, you gave your Son. And now you give us your Spirit, Lord. And through your Spirit, you make your home in our hearts. And we have become your temple. Place where you have chosen to dwell, the place where you have chosen to reveal your glory and your goodness. These thoughts are so amazing for us because we are so weak and we are so frail, Lord. But this is what the blood of Christ has accomplished. Through his blood, our sins are washed away. We are forgiven and we are made to receive you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, to understand this truth. Help us to understand, Lord, how this works in our life. Help us to understand, Lord, the area, the place of faith, the place of obedience, the place of holiness, and all of this, dear God. We are often confused. We are often uncertain, dear Lord. But again, bring clarity into our souls. Help us to understand, Lord, what you are saying to us. and how you're working out your plans in our own lives, how you are moving deeper and deeper into our hearts, removing things that are standing in the way, freeing us, Lord, from the obstacles that keep us from knowing you intimately. Also, Lord, help us understand, Lord, how our own habits and stubbornness prevent you, Lord, and close the doors towards you, and how we should respond to all of it. But God, in all of this, we know you can do it, dear God. You can show us, you can heal us, you can help us. And this is the cry of our hearts, dear Lord, come. We need more of you. We want less of us. We want less of all of these things that get in the way. And we want more of your love, your joy, your peace to fill our hearts. We truly want to be aware of the spiritual realities, the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, his glorious throne, his victory, his goodness in our life. We want to have that confidence of your reign and your power in our workplaces, in our homes, in every challenging situation. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Let us know of your power, of your work in our lives. We thank you, dear Lord. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we come to you, Lord, and we ask for your help, for your favor. Each of us have different aspects in our life that we struggle with. Things that have happened that we find it hard to understand or accept. Habits formed in our life that we cannot, we find it difficult to have a breakthrough. Fears and thoughts that dominate our mind. Or just a hardness that have captured our hearts. Whatever it is, Lord, wherever we are, you know. You know the condition of our hearts. You know the answer to this problem. You know what we need to do. And dear Lord, we pray that we learn to open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, and allow you, Lord, to pierce our hearts through your word, to bring light, to bring clarity, to bring restoration and renewal. We pray, Lord, that we will find, Lord, the path again, Lord, and take the steps that we need to take, dear Lord. Dear God, we don't want to remain in the same place for too long. We don't want to struggle with the same things, Lord, again and again, without any growth, dear God. Yes, Lord, there is a struggle, but there is also learning. There is also breakthroughs. There's also the ability, Lord, to have the grace to accept and move on that comes from you, dear God. Because this is who you are. This is how you have revealed yourself in Gethsemane. And we pray, Lord, that we will be strengthened, that we will see that breakthrough, that we will understand your word for every season of our life, that we will know, Lord, the areas in which you are working on, Lord, in our hearts. So help us, dear God, everyone. Help us more, help each other. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to what you are doing in the lives of others. Help us, Lord, speak the right words and walk alongside with your grace, with your gifts, with your strength, dear God. Dear Lord, we need you. And dear God, we also come before you because we all are worried about the healing, our health, our protection, Lord, and the provision, Lord, Father. There's so many things that is beyond our scope, beyond our control. Our dear Lord, we pray, let us find rest in you. You have taught us to pray. You are the all-powerful God. Surely you will provide, you will care for us who call upon your name. So we pray that we will trust you and that we will trust you, Lord, enough, Lord, to learn from you how to be good stewards of every blessing that you have placed in our hands. That you would anoint us, Lord, and empower us so that the godly gifts of stewardships will be seen in our lives as we steward all these things for your kingdom, for your glory, for your power. So come, Lord, we pray that you move us into deeper waters. You set alive, Lord, this faith. Let fire come. Let us be awakened, Lord, to spiritual realities. Let us understand, Lord, this journey. Let us know, Lord, about your calling and your kingdom. Open our eyes, dear Lord. Open our hearts. As you said, Lord, that in the last days you'll pour out your spirit on all people, and this is what you are doing. So let us dream dreams and see visions, Lord. Let us understand, Lord, how you have chosen to manifest your kingdom and your glory and your power in our time. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you that we have come together in your name. We pray that even as we have started this journey, you continue to help us, that you continue to be with us in the Sunday services. We pray, Lord Father, as we're learning how to restart at this phase of the pandemic, we pray for wisdom, dear God, as how to go by things. But again, Lord, we rest in your grace, in your protection, in your wisdom. Lead us and guide us, Lord Father, for you are the one who has saved us. Surely you will lead us, Lord. We thank you. Bless every person, Lord. Keep them in your love. Give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.